Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Over many years of ministering to different groups of people, I have discovered that some would like to leave Jesus in the manger. They're happy to celebrate Christmas, but after all, Jesus is a baby, son of Mary and Joseph, born in a humble stable in Bethlehem, and there he stays for some people. Many may remember wonderful stories of healing and interesting parables, perhaps as taught in Sunday school, but perhaps have never moved on to a relationship with the Lord Jesus. For others, they have come to faith and Jesus has become their friend. Many acknowledge Jesus as a brother and develop an intimate relationship with him. But today we come to the end of the church's year. And before we embark on Advent next week and begin to prepare for the coming of the Christ child, it's very apt and fitting that we're reminded of the kingship of Jesus. He does not remain the helpless, vulnerable baby in the manger, but he reigns in glory. Jesus' kingship begins with the opening verse of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The evangelist continues the theme of Jesus' kingship incarnate in human flesh, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. We have beheld his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father. In the verse immediately following our assigned text for this morning on Christ the King Sunday, Pilate responds to Jesus' witness to his kingship, asking, "What is truth?" These verses provide the framework of the text for Christ the King Sunday. What events in the Gospel have led us to hear Jesus' witness of his kingship to Pilate? "My kingship is not of this world. If my kingship were of this world, my servants would fight, that I might not be handed to the Jews. But my kingship is not from the world." Christ's kingship is both hidden and yet revealed throughout the Gospel of John. At Jesus' baptism, John expresses a vision of his kingship revealed in the cross. "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And he goes on to proclaim, "And I have seen and have borne witness, this is the Son of God." As the story continues to unfold, all within the opening verses of the Gospel of John, Jesus responds to two followers of John with an invitation and a promise, "Come and you will see." One of the followers is Andrew, who in turn invites his brother Simon with the confession, "We have found the Messiah." Jesus again takes the initiative and he calls Philip, who in turn invites Nathanael. "We have found him about whom Moses in the Law and the Prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael in turn confesses of Jesus, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." You see where we're going? All through John's Gospel. And Jesus' vision of the Son of Man concludes the confessions of chapter 1. And Jesus said to him, to Nathanael, "Very truly I tell you, you will see the heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Confessions of Jesus' kingship are present throughout the opening chapter of the Gospel of John. And this is a uniqueness of this Gospel of John in relationship to the other three Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And yet, the identity of Jesus' kingship will remain veiled to the world throughout the Gospel of John. The first public act of Jesus' ministry in this gospel takes place at the wedding in Cana. As the supply of wine is diminished, Jesus' mother calls this to his attention, and Jesus' words appear to be a rebuff, but in reality, they point to the cross. Woman, what concern is that to you and me? My hour has not yet come. And this is the first time Jesus refers to the hour of crucifixion as the hour when his kingship will be most clearly seen and most certainly yet veiled. How is crucifixion regal and yet kingly, we would ask? To Nicodemus, Jesus discloses the truth of his crucifixion in being lifted up or exalted. The sign of salvation for the Israelites from the fiery serpents in the wilderness is the ensign of Jesus' cross. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so it is necessary for the Son of Man to be lifted up, to be exalted, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Throughout this Gospel of John, the evangelist is bringing us to the hearing of Jesus before Pilate. His own people have brought Jesus in deceit. They perjured themselves before Pilate by saying, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." It was lawful in the Torah to stone someone on the charge of blasphemy. Several times Jesus identifies himself with the name of God. "Very truly I tell you, before Abraham was, I am." The identity of Jesus with the I am of Yahweh, is present in all the I am sayings throughout the Gospel of John. The deception of the religious leaders before Pilate signifies the sign of Jesus' death by Roman crucifixion. And this was to fulfill what Jesus had said when he signified the kind of death he was going to die. Jesus will be physically lifted up on the cross of crucifixion. Jesus will be exalted or enthroned on the cross. The trial before Pilate begins with either a question or a statement. "Are you the King of the Jews?" or "You are the King of the Jews." Jesus' response to Pilate indicates it is a statement. "Do you say this on your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Since Jesus' own nation and chief priests have handed him over, Pilate needs to know the charges. "What have you done?" Jesus' response to Pilate says that he has made no pretense of an earthly kingship with his own people, and thus provides no threat to Pilate's rule, since his kingship is not from this world. As it says in chapter 18, verse 36, Pilate says to Jesus' response, "So then you are a king." That's in the Greek text. This can be a statement of affirmation or a question again. Once again, it would appear that Jesus accepts Pilate's words as a statement and not a question. But Jesus affirms to Pilate, "You say that I am a king." Jesus' witness brings the text to a crescendo witness. "For this I was born, and for this I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." The scene between Jesus and Pilate is the height of the gospel's irony, as Pilate does not question Jesus' kingship or guilt of the charges brought before him. Pilate rather affirms Jesus' kingship, as his title on the cross witnesses, and his resolve against the chief priest not to change the title in Hebrew. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Truth is embodied in Jesus Christ. Truth is not an axiom that can be proven. Truth is the one who stands on trial before Pilate. Following the assigned text is Pilate's question, what is truth? We have heard the true witness of the text. Truth is standing before us in Jesus Christ. Truth is the Word become flesh. This indeed is Christ the King, and the true witness and proclamation on Christ the King Sunday. It's very clear that John records the conversations of Jesus as going on at two levels. Nicodemus is worried about emerging into the womb a second time. The Samaritan woman hopes that she will not have to go to the well continually. Here, it is the same. Earlier in the 12th chapter, the Jews, impressed by Jesus' actions, try to make him king, but he avoids it. Although his contemporaries are looking for a great king like David, that's not Jesus' way. They're looking for a military king to restore their kingdom. Jesus is the king who brings in the kingdom of God. Small wonder then that Pilate is perplexed. What's Jesus talking about? For Jesus, the kingdom is not this worldly. It is above and beyond this world. However, paradoxically, it is already present in everyone who belongs to the truth. The theme of Christ the King forms a fitting climax to the year's lecture. Next week, there's a new beginning of Advent as we go back to the beginning. As the writer of Revelation knew, and we know, in the birth of Jesus, the vision of Daniel is fulfilled. These words were known. And behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is one that shall not be destroyed. Christ, our King. Christ, the King of glory. Christ, our King. Thanks be to God.